two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Verifying.
Welcome. The noon hour is here, and it's time to talk about the teams you love with the guys you know and trust.
Yeah, that's right. We are the best.
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
Wait a second. Did you take JT? Did you have Justin Thomas?
Yes, I had JT. Don't worry. Dustin Johnson's doing terrible.
Oh, is Dustin not going to make the... Oh,
no, he's like seven over.
John Daly outgolfed Dustin Johnson yesterday.
Yeah, well, John Daly also gets to ride in a cart and smoke 21 cigarettes.
I saw this side-by-side picture at John Daly and Dustin Johnson. Dustin Johnson's like the bastion of health. He's just this incredible, tall, well-built body. And then you had John Daly, who's kind of arched back in his cart. He's got a Diet Coke in one hand, a cigarette in the other hand. And it said, this guy outgolfed this guy. It was one of the best tweets I've seen.
I don't know if you saw it. There's also a picture of John Daly sitting at the casino late last night because he had a late tea time. So there he is, just sitting like a blue hair, you know, playing the old penny machine slots.
You know, he's going to ruin this for every other former champion winner. He's going to ruin it. They're going to be like, you know, we just can't do this anymore. Like this, you've run us ragged. Every single year, you bring this circus level of attention. You smoke a ton of ciggies. You don't really do much. He did show up. He was 2 under for a minute in the first round, and then it's like, then he just gets going on his cart and enjoys the day, I guess. Cracks me up, man. Some crazy weather going on. You got this huge wind front that blew in some, or is blowing in some cold air, but the PGA Championship waging on. Lloyd Cole currently has the number one and number two golfer in the field. Justin Thomas leading the field at 6 under. Rory McIlroy about to take the course in, about 2 hours at 5 under. Dustin Johnson is going to hurt you.
Yeah, he's going to stick.
Also, Tiger Woods, you're going to get those 5 strokes added because Tiger Woods is not going to be within 10 and a half strokes of the lead.
I know.
So we'll see. This thing's going to be tight. It's kind of fun, though. Welcome in, Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 12 into the zone. Scotty's out today, and we have got a couple of great things put together for you today. Obviously, Bob is going to join us live from the PGA Championship. Excited to get an update there. Craig Bowlerjack, the voice of the Utah Jazz, he's going to join us a little bit later. Will Snowden, my former teammate, one of the best developmental coaches here in the state. He knows all the talent. He knows what's going on with name, image, and likeness and so many other things. He's going to join us in the 2 o'clock hour. But really excited to have Ben Anderson stick around and hang out with us here in the first segment. Ben, how you doing, man?
Doing well. How are you?
Good. Tell me what you got from the food trucks. Were you able to pick up some food yet or no?
I haven't eaten. I've been picking candy off the table next to us. We've got a bunch of Jazz shirts, which have been extremely popular with the people of South Jordan. We're live at the Davis Vision Block Party down here. But, yeah, man, the Jazz shirts are popular. We've probably had 7 listeners show up already. Come on down. Get some shirts before lunch. So it's cool. They're going quick. So if you want to come on down. But, yeah, I've been picking Sour Patch Kids and Twizzlers off the table yet. I haven't had a chance to eat.
So can people still enter to win the free LASIK, or is that
Yeah, absolutely. It's going until 6. I think they said the giveaway is probably going to be at 5 o'clock. So if you want to get in, and, man, who doesn't want it, stop on by. Today's a really good opportunity to come on down and do that, plus the 30% off sunglasses. It's a cool deal.
My wife was an amazing, lucky recipient of the Davis Vision LASIK surgery. And, Ben, it was really tough because it affected our relationship. She realized how ugly.
She came out of it. Whoa! Where's my husband?
I married a catcher's mitt. This is disgusting. Yeah. I think it was shocking for her, but it's incredible. Robin's fantastic down there, Davis Vision. Davis Vision is so good to work with. If you go in for just yearly updates, then they'll give you a free repair. If your vision gets out of whack, if you've done those yearly updates, they'll correct it for free, which I absolutely love. So great event going on down there, and glad that you could hang around with us for a minute, Ben. Hey, I wanted to start with this, Ben, because I'm sick of turning off these playoff games, and I've been turning off playoff games. I'm just – it's like one team will get ahead and the other team will quit. So I was like, I'm going to go back and just take a look at how many blowouts have occurred in the postseason so far. So I don't know if you saw my tweet, but I went through the first round, the quarterfinals, the semifinals, and what we've got so far in the conference finals. 37 double-digit sleepers so far in this postseason. You've got 7 wins by 30 points or more, 14 wins by 20 points or more, and 16 wins by 10 points or more. Most of these are decided just after half. Almost all of them decided within first 4 or 5 minutes of the fourth quarter. Why are we seeing so many blowouts? And is this an unusual amount of blowouts that we are seeing?
Hey, credit the Jazz. They would get these blowouts at halftime, and they'd let other teams get back in, so at least they were interesting. At least those fourth quarters.
At least they kept us tuned in.
At least you had to watch. You didn't know what was going to happen. It is a little unusual, and I think there's a couple things at play. I do think some of it is to the credit of just the modern style of the NBA, where, I mean, look at what Boston did last night. They were down, what, 10 in the first quarter? And what did they end up finishing? 9 of 11 from the three-point line, you know, or at least they opened the game 9 of 11 from the three-point line. So they were just a little slow getting the offense started. But once it clicked in, when you're taking threes like that, if they start going in, Hans, you're just going to blow out games. You're just going to get blown out. And, you know, that's what happened with Milwaukee, too. Remember Milwaukee, Game 7, their loss at Boston, they shot 4 of 33 from the three-point line. So I know we've tried to fight this narrative of you live by the three or you die by the three, but look, when you have that many and you really are hot or you're cold, you're either going to blow a team out or you're going to get blown out. And the Jazz were certainly victims of that as well. And I think that's going to be the evolution of the NBA that's going to be really interesting is teams don't want to be the best team throughout the regular season or have their championship window open like the Milwaukee Bucks and see it close violently because randomly they went cold in a Game 7 that you have to win. You're going to have to find a way to counter that and come back without the big play. And I think that's going to be really the next evolution of the NBA is finding out how to sustain offenses even when you're not shooting well. But you're right. That is the reason we're seeing, I think, a lot of these blowouts. And it's not particularly good basketball, and I think that's why the NBA could look into it if this keeps up.
It is. It's so strange. In fact, the first 3 games so far in conference final play, you got the 2 games of Heat Celtics, and you got 1 game of Golden State Mavs. All of them double-digit wins. And what's weird is you had Jimmy Butler in his 41-point performance, and Heat really pushed the pedal down in the fourth quarter. They end up winning by 10 points. And then last night you got the Celtics that just run away. By half, I was like, I should just turn this off. I'd save some time. I really don't watch it. I ended up watching through parts of the third quarter until it really started to get out of hand. But I could see the Mavericks beating Golden State by 15 tonight. Or do you think some of these are kind of like, because, you know, you go back to the Phoenix Suns Mavericks series. You had the Suns that beat the Mavs by 20 points. The next game, Suns beat the Mavs by 30 points. The next game, Mavs beat the Suns by 27 points. Like, I could see the Mavs coming out tonight against Golden State and getting a 15-20 point win. Or is that not possible?
No, I've said that I think Luka Doncic is good enough now for the rest of his career to push basically every playoff series he's in to six games. Now, that's only two wins. That's not, you know, a crazy dramatic thing to say. But I don't expect we'll see him get swept a whole lot. That there is a chance, though, that this Warriors team is so significantly better than Dallas because, look, it's amazing Dallas is where they are. They probably shouldn't have gotten this far. And credit to them, they did find a way to do it. But they have one star, and their star is young. I mean, credit Luka. He's been a superstar on the World Basketball League for, you know, probably 6 or 7 years now, since he was 16 years old. But yeah, he's 23 years old. Like, he just hasn't been around long enough to have done this frequently enough at this high of a level to be able to combat Golden State. Because, man, you look back at when this team really formed and when Golden State became the Warriors, Luka was 17 years old. Luka was not, you know, this grizzled veteran who has been putting in those years in the NBA. This is his first real playoff run that he's ever had. In fact, it's the first playoff series he's ever won, was their opening round series against the Jazz. So I don't know if yet this Mavericks team is good enough to compete with the Warriors where they are on their comeback tour and with the experience they have. And then look on the Eastern in the Eastern Conference Finals as well. I think you can make the argument that Miami's just not anywhere near as good as Boston, and credit them for winning Game One. Jimmy Butler's stat line was 41 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 steals, and 3 blocks. I mean, it was crazy. It was one of the best performances I've ever seen.
Record setting, yeah.
I don't know if you're going to get that every night, and you might need that for Miami to have a chance. So I hope if we get to the finals, and I predicted it's going to be Boston and Miami hands, that those two teams match up a little bit better than what we've seen in the conference finals. But there's a pretty big disparity, I think, between the Warriors and the Mavericks and then Boston and Miami.
Well, in the East, we sit 1-1, Heats, Celtics. In the West, you sit 1-0, Golden State getting the win over the Mavericks, number 2 coming up tonight. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show, but I want to jump into the starter. Hans Olsen, Ben Anderson sitting in for Scotty G. I want to jump into this starter because Utah Jazz are in an interesting situation right now. Can they figure out some things? Can they improve their situation? Let's jump into that for our starter.
This is Hans and Scotty G.
Let's go!
And now it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the starting lineup. Starting lineup on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
As always, our starter brought to you by Peach Windows and Doors. Hans and Scotty. Ben, there is a really interesting thing that's kind of developing here. I think everybody understands the Utah Jazz have zero draft picks coming in. And we went through the draft lottery. You know, we know the Jazz draft history. We know likelihoods in lotteries. But the one thing I hate doing is wading through a draft without the Jazz having a single pick. So I asked David Locke on Tuesday. Yesterday, I asked Kurt Heelan. I've asked Scotty this question, and I was excited to get you on in this opening segment because I wanted to get your thoughts on this. When we come around to draft day, NBA draft day, do you believe at that point the Jazz will have acquired a draft pick? Do you think, and what percentage do you attach to the possibility of the Jazz having a draft pick come draft day?
I think they will. I think they'll find a way to get back in this draft. And look, maybe they're buying a pick late in the second round. I mean, maybe it's as boring as that, and I hope that's not the case because I love the draft. It really is. You know, I know a lot of people have the NFL draft is their thing, or college football, or the opening weekend of college football is kind of their thing. The draft has kind of historically been one of my favorite days in sports, and I've gone and covered it, and I've really enjoyed it. So I think, you know, for my own selfishness, I hope that the Jazz find a way to get back into the draft because I always like watching these amateur kids come up.
That's exactly what David said, by the way. David said, I give it 100% chance because I refuse to think I'm going to be watching all this film and evaluating these guys without any potential. So David gave it 100% chance.
I'm not sure I'm going to go 100%. But look, the Jazz have a really bloated salary cap. I mean, that's the other issue, and that's what's maybe most disappointing about this team this year is not just the continuity, but I'm sure it's got to be difficult for Ryan Smith to look at that tax bill. I mean, what was the Jazz salary cap? Over $130 million this year, and then you're paying dollar for dollar on some of those and even more at certain levels, which is why they made the Joe Ingles trade to cut down some of that cash. Saving money is a smart move if you're not winning. You know, there's no reason to have a $180 million roster if you're winning 49 games. That doesn't add up. It's stupid investing. It's stupid money. It's a stupid way to play the game. So I do think that can be one of the ways the Jazz can fix the rosters by trying to get draft picks. And look, you also need to be young. You need to be malleable. And those are either players that develop into somebody or players you can trade for something. I mean, Nickeil Alexander-Walker has been far from a success story in the NBA so far with the with the New Orleans Pelicans, but they were able to trade him at the deadline for a guy like C.J. McCollum. Well, C.J. McCollum is a real player. I mean, he got there to New Orleans midway through the season and turned him into a playoff team after they started the year, 1-16 or what? You know, it's just crazy. So you need to have young talent to make trades, to make moves, and to save money. And I do think that's something Danny Ainge has looked at historically, because before Oklahoma City was doing what they're doing, where they've got, I think it's 17 picks in the next five drafts, 17 first-round picks in the next five drafts, Danny Ainge kind of started that trend. I'm sure he likes the draft himself as well. I know they would run competitions. I've heard this story, and maybe it was even on your show. They were talking about they would have, you know, Danny Ainge would set up competitions where they would pick players that they liked in the tournament and kind of, you know, see how far they would go in the tournament. And I don't know if they were betting on it. I can't remember exactly what the game involved was with it. But he likes the draft. He likes college basketball. He likes the NCAA tournament. He likes these young kids. And you understand that that's where the Jazz are probably going to be able to get better, because they're not going to clear out a max roster spot in the next couple of years. So I do think he'll get into the draft. I do think that's your first way to start putting your fingerprints on this team. And you got to clear out some of these big bloated salaries that they have anyways, and you got to get younger. So all signs point to the Jazz needing to get back in the draft. It's just about finding which pieces you're willing to give up to get there.
Yeah, what you give up to get into that draft, and what kinds of things you can do, what kind of moves you can make, whether it's some type of capital move where you're moving one of the big names and joining that up and getting a draft pick along with some talent or whatever it is. I gotta imagine we're gonna see the Jazz enter into the draft, and a lot of it has to do with what you just said. I've gotta imagine Danny Ainge wants to jump into the draft as he's taking that CEO position now with the Utah Jazz. So Ben, how unacceptable has it gotten? What point of unacceptability has it gotten to that the Jazz take the court next year with the same starting five and Quinn Snyder as the head coach?
I would be stunned. I mean, it would be irresponsible, in all honesty, to try and run it back, because I get why you did it after the COVID year. COVID was bizarre. You didn't have Bojan Bogdanovic in the bubble. Okay, run it back. You were really good when you had him. And then last season you said, man, best team in the NBA during the regular season, and then you lose Mike Conley. You had a 2-0 series lead in the Western Conference semifinals over the Clippers. Maybe if you just have Mike Conley there, you get to the conference finals, and who knows? We learned clearly that that this Phoenix Suns team was not the real deal this year. They were more smoke and mirrors than a legit contender. So maybe you would have had a chance to beat them. Run it back. That's worth running it back and seeing what they had this season. But you know what? You were healthy this year. You paced yourself for the playoffs. You went out and made tweaks around the roster with Rudy Gay and Hassan Whiteside. And then you got to the postseason and you just fell flat on your face. The league had passed you by. The play had passed you by. The age had passed you by. You're just not what you expected to be. And you kind of saw the real deal. There was nothing. There was no secret about the Jazz this year. There was no stone left unturned. We saw everything I think this Jazz team can be, to the point where, you know, after the season finale, the series finale, when their season ended to the Mavericks, Mike Conley was saying, yeah, this is probably not it. You know, this is probably not what the team needs to be if they want to win at the highest level. And they weren't sure if they could get to that next point that they wanted to with this group. And, you know, Mike Conley's going to tell you the truth. Donovan Mitchell, I get it. He's, you know, 26 years old. He's young. He doesn't know what the future holds for him. Rudy Gobert is probably in the same boat. Mike Conley's been on Western Conference Finals teams. Mike Conley's knocked on the door. Mike Conley's won in the playoffs. He knows what you can and can't do and what you can and can't get away with. So running it back with this team, I just don't see how you combat kind of the modern trend of the NBA with five out, with three-point shooters, with more versatile players on both ends of the floor. I just don't see how this team gets there because they have too many guys who can't do that. They can play one side of the floor or the other, or they really can't do either well enough to make a difference in a postseason. So I would be shocked if we see certainly this starting five back. And you look at the top, what, seven rotations, rotation players, which is, you know, the main five guys, and then throw, you know, Jordan Clarkson and whoever else you want to throw into that mix. It would have been Joe Ingles. It's not anymore. Maybe it's Jared Butler next year or whoever they want to come in and be the backup big. It's just, it's got to be different. It's got to be pretty radically different if they want to have radically different results.
You know, with all the noise that happens with Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert and Quinn Snyder, it's funny because I think that there's kind of this undercurrent pass that happens with a guy like Royce O'Neal. You know, we don't talk enough about what he did or what he didn't do in an effort to help the Jazz advance through the postseason. When you look at Royce O'Neal, what is his worth in the NBA? What can the Jazz do with him, get for him? And is he not a guy that the Jazz have to look right at and say, all right, that's something we've got to change?
Yeah, but Royce is funny, and every team has these guys. The guy, the diamond in the rough that you find, general managers or vice presidents of basketball operations often pay those guys as a reward for their own ability to find kind of this, you know, this player from Europe who came in and was undrafted and made the team, or the second round draft pick who came in and made the roster, because you're celebrating your own successes. So it's easy to pay those guys. And I don't think you were wrong to pay Royce O'Neal, you know, whatever, 4 years, $40 million, whatever he got, because he's a starter and he plays 30 minutes a game. That's probably worth it from a salary cap perspective. But at some point, his game didn't develop any further. He's a good three-point shooter. He's going to shoot around 40%. Doesn't shoot a lot. His defense was probably always a little bit overrated. He wasn't a true stopper. He's a little bit versatile, but he kind of just played the role because nobody else on the Jazz was able to do it. So he just had to defend the opposing team's best player. I just not sure his reputation matches the reality of Royce O'Neal. But, you know, 2 years and $20 million left on his contract, which is about what's left for him, and a guy that can play 25 minutes in the NBA, he's not an invaluable piece. Mm-hmm. No one's given up a first-round draft pick for him. You know, nobody on draft night's calling the Jazz saying, hey, we think Royce O'Neal pushes us over the edge in Miami, so we'll give you the 28th overall pick. You get more value out of having a guy on a, you know, basically a seven-year contract at $1.5 million, $2 million a year at that point. So that's the hard part. But as a, you know, as an extra piece in a trade, if you move Jordan Clarkson and Royce O'Neal together, and you're up around what, $25 million at that point, if the Jazz said they needed a third star or big money that way, that's really not a bad piece to add in, because he's going to come in and he's going to play on 30 teams in the NBA. He has a role everywhere he goes. He just might not be what the Jazz need at this point at that position.
Have you got a feeling that, or had the feeling that, the Quinn Snyder moving on down the road one way or the other has kind of died down? It feels like the momentum of it's died down, but have you been hearing much about Quinn Snyder potentially not being back with the Utah Jazz as much as we did when the season ended?
And it certainly have felt like that last couple of weeks, the way Quinn was talking, some of the, you know, past tense stuff sounded like he was ready to move on and was tired. And look, everyone's really tired at the end of the season. It's a marathon, and I'm sure everyone considers, hey, is this my last year? Should I do something else? And I think he probably was seriously considering that. Talking to him, well, we did a Monday, I think a week after the season had ended, and he had had hip surgery and had come back, and he sounded a little more optimistic about the future. But he may be waiting to commit until he knows actually what this roster is going to look like. And I'm not sure Ryan Smith and Danny Ainge and Justin Zanuck know what they want this roster to look like, because the two teams that I think are really going to have interest in Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert this offseason, and they're not new names, they're the names that have been thrown around, are the Miami Heat for Donovan Mitchell and the Dallas Mavericks for Rudy Gobert, because, you know, you kind of need a second star, and those are the types of guys that could be available for both of those teams. So if the Jazz don't know what those teams would be willing to offer, because you can't talk to them, at least you're not supposed to, until the season wraps up, on what they could potentially offer you in a trade, maybe if we don't know what the roster looks like, Quinn Snyder doesn't know whether he wants to be back here or not. Because if you trade Rudy and Donovan, Does he want to, at this point in his career, start a whole rebuild that's probably 4 or 5 years long? Or does that belong to somebody else who needs to come in and develop these guys and work with them? And so he's better off taking a year off or going and taking another job or waiting for San Antonio to open. I think all of those things are on the table, and it's hard. We just don't have that much information. And I think over the last 2 years, Hans, we've gotten used to the abbreviated offseason of the NBA because the COVID year, it was so weird. The NBA went to that break, and you couldn't do anything during those 4 months that it was off. And then the season ended, what was it, like September? October, almost the season ended. The draft was in November, and they started the year in December. I mean, there was honestly 7 weeks off, I think, for the Los Angeles Lakers. It was crazy compact between winning a title and turning around. And then last year, I mean, we were still watching the Jazz into late June. I think they got eliminated on June 26th or 27th. The finals went into late July, and then it was August, September, and training camp was back. So I think our expectation on how quickly things are supposed to move has gotten altered, and maybe we're viewing it a little bit inaccurately because of what we've dealt with over the last two seasons. So I don't necessarily think anything's off schedule right now for when these decisions would usually be made, but it's just so weird because the last 2 years have been so abbreviated, we haven't been used to waiting.
Yeah. Well, Ben, things still rocking and rolling down there at the Davis Vision event?
Yeah, in fact, it's great. It's really warming up over the Kohl's Barbecues down here. They're getting set up, and it looks like they've got food going out. We've got Penguin Brothers. The ice cream sandwiches are coming out as well. The sun actually just popped out, so it's warmed up considerably. A lot of Jazz fans coming down getting shirts. They've got the 30% off sunglasses. They're giving away a free LASIK treatment today, so make sure you come on down and get entered in that raffle. But yeah, it's awesome. It's really just about to start kicking off.
Hey, I heard you and Jake making fun of your left eye. What, just your left eye is bad? What's going on?
Yeah, I just have a bad left eye, honestly. I just can't see out of it very well. It's just blurry. I mean, I can read a little bit. I can't read. If my right eye is closed, I can't read. So this might affect my 60 and 60 voting. I'll have to look with my right eye and figure out how to pick the 57th best player in college football in the state of Utah. I might need your help with this. I've been doing a lot of Jazz stuff for the last couple of years. I might need help picking the 50.
Have you looked into a possible stigmatism, Ben?
Yeah.
It's very possible.
Hey, by the way, Ben, we need your ballot to be public so that people can see all your votes.
Why would I ever do that? Why would I ever do that?
I've seen listeners are starting to put pressure on media members. They're like, make sure that your votes are public. We want to see it. It's like, I don't know if I want to do that.
Not a chance that's ever going to happen.
Remember, these things average out. I want people to understand. These things average out. Not everybody gets it exactly right. We've had some missteps in the past. Not everybody gets it exactly right. But the averages average this thing out, and we've always had a pretty accurate list. You know, every once in a while we'll have a misplace, a misguided player.
Yeah, Marcus Williams every once in a while ends up at 47th.
Yes, and Charlie Brewer ended up at, what did he come in yet last year, Lloyd? It was like 15th or something?
Yeah, it was like around 13, 14, 15, somewhere around there.
You know, so like there are, and he had 10,000 yards. I get it. Like there were reasons to vote. There are some things that go sideways, but we just want your best effort. That's all we want.
Well, let me ask you this. When do you think, because I think we all have a couple of names that we expect are going to be the top three or four, right? I mean, the quarterbacks are going to go really high. Tavion Thomas, I think, is going to go really high. In fact, I would probably put him at number one on my list. If you want, that's what I'll do. I'll tell you who I vote number one overall when I fill out my ballot. I will absolutely put that out for you guys.
You'll go number one? You got to at least give us your top 10.
Not a chance am I going to do that.
Got to get your top 10. I don't know. It's going to be tough.
Why not make enemies?
All three quarterbacks will be in the top 10.
So where does it get interesting for you? What number are you circling where you say, I mean, this is kind of like the NBA draft, right? We always know the top two guys, and then you say, okay, it starts at this point. The NFL draft was the same way. We knew the top two guys were going to be, you know, X and Y. The draft starts at three. So where does the 60 and 60 start for you this year?
Well, I can tell you this right now. I've got my top 40 done. My top 40 is locked.
It's an amazing thing you guys can do this.
And I feel pretty darn confident that my top 40 is right on the mark. Now I've just got to organize the bottom 20 and place a couple of names. I mean, you know, there's some guys that everybody that's on that list deserves to be there. But there's some guys I don't know exactly what to do with. And that, you know, it's like the bottom 20 is just kind of, Yeah, I saw him a couple of times. I really liked what he did. I think he's good in open field, or, you know, I think he's got sticky fingers, or I think he's better in the trench, and he's great at down blocking. And you can make up some of those things, but my top 40 is done. We got to see your top 10, though.
Tell you what, let's sometime, but while this ballot is out, when does it have to be in? By June 9th?
Yes.
A little earlier than that?
Earlier than that, right? June 6th, wasn't it?
The 1st.
Oh, is it June 1st?
Oh, maybe not. No, I could be wrong.
Yeah, you got a couple days. You got a few days.
When your show ends, well, let's go out to lunch sometime. I'll take you out to lunch, and you can walk me through some of these top 60.
Let's do it.
Because it's going to be hard for me to pick 45 through 60. I'm just going to tell you the truth. I'm not sure which D lineman at Utah State I'm going to pick for number 39. It's going to be a little difficult. I'm going to need a little help.
We'll sit down. We'll get it done, man. Hey, thanks for jumping on for the first segment, man.
Hey, my pleasure.
We'll send them down there to the Davis Vision event. You got food trucks. You got a drawing for a free LASIK surgery. You've got sunglasses 30% off, Jazz shirts, all kinds of reasons to go down there and check out that great event. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Bob Casper, live from the PGA Championship, explaining how Lloyd picked the top two golfers in the major pain in the butt picks. That's all coming up next.
This is Unrivaled.
You guys are doing a hell of a job.
Mitch Harper, he hosts Cougar Sports Saturday on KSL News Radio.
When you're seeing the reports of the SEC being okay with staying at a 14 playoff, sound the alarm for the Big 12, because the Big 12 won't get anyone in the 14 playoff. I mean, you're then going to fight a massive uphill battle in that league without Texas and Oklahoma to get into the 14 playoffs. So you probably want to schedule maybe two, Power Five teams in the non-conference, plus your Big 12 schedule to have a puncher's chance at being in the playoff.
That is unbelievable.
Catch Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery weekdays from 3 to 7 on 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
You Went to Golf PGA Championship Update with Bob Casper is brought to you by Mountainland Supply, Zions Bank, Hoops Vision, Siegfried & Jensen, and Get Some Guns and Ammo. And now, Real Golf Radio's Bob Casper.
One of our absolute favorites. They do an amazing job every Saturday. Bob Casper, Brian Taylor. Nobody knows the golf scene better. Nobody breaks it down better. And Bob Casper, kind enough to join us, giving us a PGA Championship update. So, Bob, I just saw BT send out a tweet, and this has actually got me irritated. He said,
okay,
hard not to take it as a blatant disrespect that Tony has not been shown by ESPN. He said, it's like they went out of their way not to show a shot from Tony in the opening segment. He's T15. Why doesn't Tony get the fanfare, the network attention that we see, you know, even some of these lesser golfers, we see them get.
You know, it's kind of interesting that he put that out there. But, you know, for a lot of my dad's career, he never got recognition like that either. I mean, my dad would be playing the tournament, he'd be playing well, you'd see his name on the leaderboard and on the first page, and they still wouldn't show him hitting shots. It was, I don't know. It's kind of crazy. Maybe it's, I don't know.
I don't know. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't know.
You
it's kind of crazy.
We've got every shot covered with Rory McIlroy, every shot covered with Jordan Spieth, and I know that these guys have won some majors. And Tony's, you know, he's I think he had a number of top tens in major appearances.
Oh, yeah.
That was spectacular. Do you have to win a couple of majors to gain the respect of the guys that are running the cameras and back in the studio producing, or what?
You know, it doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
That's for sure. You know, maybe a few more wins, maybe a few more or have, you know, some opportunities in majors where you finish like second or you win one, then yeah, I think, you know, they've got to take you a little bit more seriously. But yeah, it's just kind of crazy. I don't know. You know, we look at it from the standpoint of Tony's a local guy, and so we're looking for Tony so much, and all that kind of thing. And, you know, it's just too bad that we aren't able to see a lot more of what he does.
Yeah, it's pretty devastating. Actually, it's actually a little offensive. I think he's an amazing story. If the networks would take time to get to know his story, I think he is one of the more incredible stories on the tour.
Yeah, especially how he won and how he used to hit range balls into the mattress in his garage and, you know, where he grew up, where he lived, how he wasn't the first one in the family to take up golf. Gifford was the one. And then he kind of said, oh, that looks kind of fun. Maybe I'll start doing that. And Tony's the one that's flourished. So yeah. It's kind of weird.
Okay, so we're watching this grouping come off the box as we speak. Tiger Woods about to tee off. We just saw Rory tee off. Jordan Spieth teed off. I love the threesome that they put together. Tiger fell off the back end of yesterday's round. He's just about to take off the box right now. What are your expectations from Tiger in day two?
Well, hopefully he plays better. He plays well today. You know, he's going to need, right now the current cut line is at +3. I would think it's probably going to go to +4. But, you know, he's going to have to shoot even par or better today, this afternoon, to be able to make the cut. The interesting thing is that of all the play, I think they got the better side of the draw because the wind is supposed to go back down this afternoon there and not be high like it was this morning. So, I think they've got a little bit better conditions this afternoon, and hopefully Tiger will go out. Having said that, Tiger yesterday, when he finished playing, he looked almost like he had been like when he finished playing after 72 holes at the Masters. I mean, everything that we saw about him all this week was that he was he looked stronger. His swing was better.
His endurance,
all that kind of thing. But his endurance, yeah. But all mm-hmm. of his stuff when he came in yesterday, he was tired and was not happy.
So I'm just watching this. This is really interesting. I'm watching this grouping walk down the fairway after they just came off the tee box. Rory McIlroy is almost like in a hop, skip kind of jog. Jordan
absolutely.
Spieth is high-stepping and slamming his feet in the ground, and they're about 30 yards in front of Tiger. Tiger is just kind of gingerly coming down the hills, and he's using his driver almost as a cane as he's coming down that hill off that first tee box. There's some mind games going on here with Spieth and McIlroy.
Well, you know, the interesting thing, when Tiger was playing his best in the prime of his career, he would be leading in a major or a tournament or whatever, and he was the guy that was always out in front. He was the guy that always made sure that he got in front of everybody and said, I'm the man, and you got to follow me. And so, I mean, these guys are playing, you know, especially Rory. Rory's playing well, and, you know, he's happy. He's happy that he's kind of, he's only one shot back right now because Justin Thomas played extremely well today. But, you know, he loves the positions he's in right now, and he's got it all in his, you know, it's all up to him to what he continues to do this week. And Jordan Spieth is, I think he still feels that he can get back into the mix of everything here. You know, if he were to go out and shoot around like Rory shot yesterday, he'd be right back at 3 under par and have a chance. So,
Well, currently Justin Thomas leading the field at 6-under. Yeah, I think he checked in at 3-under today. I think he's had two rounds of 67, if I remember right.
That's correct.
Talk me through Justin Thomas's game. What is it that's so strong and consistent about his game over the last few years?
Well, you know, his dad's his coach, and always has been. He's a guy that he's maybe 5'10", but he absolutely bombs it. He hits it a long ways, but he's a decent putter. He's got a great short game. He hits great iron shots into greens, and when he pulls those all together, then you got to watch out for Justin Thomas. But you know, in yesterday's round, 67, he made 5 birdies and 2 bogeys. Today, he made 4 birdies and 2 bogeys. So if he continues to be able to make birdies like that, then and not have to offset him with bogeys, then he's gonna be right there on Sunday.
Well, before this thing teed off, this PGA Championship teed off, the big storyline was Phil Mickelson with the LIV, yeah, and the tour that the Saudi Arabians are trying to infuse money into and kick up. As this thing's going, it seems like all the noise of that has really died down. Does that thing, the noise of it, does it kick back up after this thing goes final? Or is there any, yeah, chance this thing quiets down a little bit?
It's not going to. It's not going to, especially as we get, you know, after this week, we're only 4 weeks away from their first event. And as we get closer to that, then we're going to see if Phil Mickelson's going to play. We're going to see exactly who's going to jump ship or who's going to test the waters as far as playing is concerned. So Lee Westwood is playing this week in the PGA Championship. He's already said he's going to play. And he is a member of both tours, the PGA and the European Tour, or the DP World Tour. Also, Louis Oosthuizen, he says he's going as well to play in the first event. So by virtue of those guys doing that, they lost a major sponsor, who is another sponsor, who is one of the big sponsors for the PGA Tour and the DP World Tour, and that was UPS. So they've asked both those guys to take the UPS logo off their shirt, and they've discontinued their relationship with him. So, you're going to see a lot of things shake up, and we're going to see guys come out of the woodwork and test the waters to see if they can get away with it when they've been told already they can't.
So one guy I've seen has waffled about a little bit, has not made a statement and really dedicated to it, but it seems like Ricky Fowler is messing around with the idea of it.
He is. Ricky Fowler is messing around with the idea. He talked about it earlier this week, and he said, I haven't made a choice. And then he gave some rationale why possibly he would. I think Ricky Fowler's a guy that would jump. I really do. Which is surprising to me because he's been kind of the face of the PGA Tour for a while. You know, they've done a great job in marketing Ricky, and the PGA Tour has done a great job in, you know, since he won the Players' Championship and that kind of thing. Little kids look up to him, all that kind of stuff. And if he jumps, then it's definitely going to be interesting to see. But he's not going to jump he's going to jump for a lot of money, and that's what's going to make him go over. And like I said before, it's almost these guys that do make that switch or try it out, they're basically saying, well, I can't win on the PGA Tour or the European Tour anymore, and I can't win a major championship, so I'm just going to jump and grab the money. And unfortunately, that's too bad that that's going to happen like that.
So Ricky Fowler is the perfect example. I mean, we're talking about Tony Finau and not getting the love and the attention and building him as a brand. Ricky Fowler doesn't have a major in his bag.
No, he doesn't. No, he does not have a major. That's for sure.
He's got some good finishes and he's got some top tens. But what is it that's propelled Ricky Fowler to the point where everybody knows the name, everybody knows the brand? And if he ever did have a run to finish on day 4 in a major, that's all we would hear about and that's all we would see. It would be Ricky Fowler. Why is it so much different between Ricky and Tony?
Well, and that's the marketing. That's the marketing group behind Ricky Fowler and what they've been able to do with him and, I guess, so to speak, his persona. You know, when he came out of Oklahoma State, you know, he would, in the final round, like Tiger would dresses in red and black. Ricky Fowler was dressing in orange in final rounds. So then, and then he wore the flat-brimmed hat. So then all these younger younger kids are thinking, man, he's pretty hip. So then you see guys wearing flat-brimmed hats that are orange and, yep. They're wearing, you know, the orange shirts and stuff like that at tour events. And Ricky's over there signing all their stuff. And the PGA Tour just grabbed onto that and really, helped promote him as far as the PGA Tour and these younger kids coming up, in the game of golf. And then he wins the Players Championship 3 or 4 years ago. And that was a huge thing for them too, because they've been kind of branding him a little bit more. Well, he's kind of fallen off a little bit now. And if he jumps, it's really going to be interesting to see how much, he's going to lose a lot of spotlight. That's for sure.
Yeah. But that would be a big time get for the LIV, the LIV. That would be.
It would be. He might be the biggest one or the biggest get from the LIV. That's for sure. You know, if Tony, he's won four times, I think, Ricky Fowler. And if Tony gets to four wins and he wins a big one like the Players' Championship or he would have captured a major, then things will start to ease up a little bit more on him, and I think we'll see a lot more of Tony.
Well, Bob, enjoy the last couple of days coming up, of course, okay. Saturday and Sunday. Who do you think takes this when we see it close on Sunday?
You know, it's pretty interesting to see what's happening right now. Justin Thomas is really playing some good golf. Will Zalatoris is another one that you've got to watch out for. He's playing some great golf, too. I think between those two and Rory McIlroy, that's probably, in my feeling, one of the guys is going to win out of those three.
I'd love to see Rory in it, actually, just because he is kind of an entertaining name, entertaining face to watch. Who is it that's trying to grab this one for their career Grand Slam? Was it who's missing?
Jordan Spieth.
Ah, that's
Jordan
right.
Spieth. Yeah, he shot two over yesterday, and he needs to get back up in the mix. He's got to shoot probably two or three under par today.
Yeah, not looking real good for him either. Bob, thank you. You're the best. We appreciate it.
All right, buddy.
And we will talk to you soon.
Okay, take care, bud.
Bob Casper, Real Golf Radio, best in the business. He's not only just an amazing golf personality, he's an amazing golfer. He's an amazing friend. He's amazing at smoking ribs. You know, look, we all love our guy Scotty, and he's as good as it gets smoking ribs. Bob took the gold. Now, nobody can deny it. Scotty's going to come back and as the challenger. Bob's going to defend that title. I got to imagine at some point, though, Scotty's going to grab that title, isn't he, Lloyd?
Yeah, I would think so.
Scotty took the series, and Scotty's going to be hauling, because Scotty's got a piece of equipment that not a lot of smokers out there have, and he's going to bring his own equipment to the next event. He feels like
as he should.
As he should.
Yeah, bring your own.
Yeah, he got stuck on a smoker that he wasn't
right
real ready for in that competition. So Bob's the absolute best. Appreciate him coming on. We'll take a quick break. We're going to come back to what you may have missed. That's all coming up next.
Every summer, you hear the selections on the top 60 and 60, and every summer you think to yourself, man, these guys are idiots.
Are we cheering for idiots?
Okay, smart guy, now's your time to shine. Go to KSLSports.com for the top 60 and 60 fan vote, where you can rank the 60 best college football players in Utah.
It doesn't make you better than me.
This year, the Zone will include your votes with the media selections to determine the best players in the state. Voting ends on June 1st, so go to KSLSports.com. It's the top 60 and 60, presented by Cypress Credit Union on 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
Go.
You don't have time to watch every game or read every story. Fortunately, we do. Here's what you may have missed on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
I'm on vacation every single day, cause I love my occupation. Hey, 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 I'm on vacation. If you don't like your life, then you should go and change it.
It's Friday, man. I love Fridays. You got the weekend in front of you. It's supposed to be a beautiful weekend, too. I've got some golf coming up this weekend. I'm excited to get out with some buddies and go enjoy the golf and just the gorgeous weather. We got some great courses in this state.
Where are you playing?
It's a great Friday. Cedar Hills.
Are you?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm going to go hit the Cedar Hills. Come off that 230-yard or 230-foot drop. I'm excited for that. Hey, one of the segments I miss the most on this show is our Friday shout-outs. I don't know who ended that, whether that was you.
No, I think that was...
it was not me.
That was a you thing. You really hated it.
It was not me.
I did not like shouting out
the Friday shout-outs. This shout-out comes in from Cody King, and I've met Cody a few times. His mom is having a birthday today, and I want to give a big shout-out to Deborah King. Lloyd, she's now been in a battle with cancer for a year and a half, and she got a little bit of bad news yesterday. She continues to fight through the bad news. And I'll just tell you, the King family, and to Deborah King, our family went through a three-year fight of lymphoma. My dad was in stage four, and we got bad news every day for what felt like 2 years. And he was able to put that thing in remission and got himself healthy. What was crazy is then he had a massive heart attack, and the massive heart attack was more of a threat than the cancer was. And guess what? He got through that, and now we get to enjoy more days with my amazing dad. And Deborah, all the thoughts in the world coming your way. Get better. Enjoy the birthday. To the King family, keep heart, you guys. You know, these fights are hard. These fights are tough. But we have such incredible technology and great doctors, especially in this state, that anything's possible. So keep by your mom's bedside. I see the picture of the family here, all the families by. And by the way, Deborah, great job on that family. What a beautiful family that you've raised. So good luck, and we're thinking about you today. Outside of that, what you may have missed, just got some breaking news coming down from BYU. I thought this was interesting. Jason Ayu, who was the recruiting director for BYU for the last couple of years, he and Jack DeMooney had done a fantastic job as recruiting directors. Jason Ayu just became BYU's director of athletics. He is the assistant director of athletics for football academics. So anybody that is working in the academic world on the football side of things, they're going to now report to Jason Ayu. And I will tell you, it's a good move. Jason Ayu is one of the good ones. I met Jason years ago when he was assistant D-line coach for the University of Utah in that undefeated run to the Sugar Bowl over Alabama. It was an incredible season. Met him that year, and I've just kind of watched him grow in the football world over these years. He's got a great football player and a son, and Chaz Ayu, who's there with BYU, and big-time move for Jason Ayu, now moving in as director, the assistant director of athletics for football academics. Congratulations to him. Great move. I would love to see him. You know, there's a couple of guys out there that when Tom Homo decides to move on, there's a couple of guys out there that I would love to see get that job. And I don't know how much longer Tom Homo is going to do this. He seems happy. He seems extremely healthy. I just got to talk to him, whatever, a few weeks ago at spring ball, and seems like he's still just engaged and loving what's happening with the Big 12. So he might be around for a long time, but there's a couple of guys that I think will eventually deserve that position. The two, and we'll see how long Jason gets to work in this, the two that instantly come to mind, Chad Lewis, number one, and Jason Ayu, when he gets a couple of years under his belt, number two.
Yeah, I could see Chad step in.
I could see Chad step in. Really, there's no other options. I mean, there's some really good names out there, but there's nobody that's more deserving. I think there's a couple of names that people are familiar with. I don't think those are the best options. I think that there's guys that aren't real BYU guys that might have a shot at that. Chad Lewis is a BYU guy. Chad Lewis will put his body in front of that BYU program. I know that. At least I know that. And I can't say the same for others. So great move by BYU. Congratulations to Jason Ayu. Fantastic job. One thing more with what you may have missed. Today, Lloyd, is our Follow Back Friday, our Instagram Follow Back Friday. And we haven't done the Follow Back Friday in a while. So I'm just telling you, anybody out there that follows Lloyd and I on Instagram today, Lloyd Colzone on Instagram or 975 Hants on Instagram, we are following you back. So we will watch your life
whether
in progress.
Whether you want us to or not, we will follow you and watch closely.
By the way, I've noticed
what you're doing.
There's been quite a few people, because I guess you can put your Instagram account on private, and so it's a request. So I've had people follow me, and then I've pressed the request. They haven't accepted the request.
Yeah, I've had that happen, too. I'm like, okay.
Well, look.
Because you don't want me to follow you. Okay.
Okay, fine. Don't accept my request. It's awkward. Like, I want to remove my request. I'm like, please, I'm just sitting here on the line waiting.
I've had that up with a couple of times. I'm just like, this is weird.
Come on.
Hey.
If we're going to follow
just
you.
You might have accepted my request.
Yeah, it's like I'm not trying to slide into your DMs. It's a promotion we're running. You follow me. I follow you. It's not like, look who's trying to follow me. It's Hans Olsen. How funny is that? Look, watch, I'm not going to follow it. I'm not going to allow his request.
Hey, we're just trying to engage a little bit.
Yeah.
That's all we're trying to do.
By the way, I did, I was in Kalani Sitake's office today, and right outside of his office is some really cool BYU stuff. So
I saw your video, by the way.
Yeah,
I liked it. Yeah, it was good.
Quick video.
Because it's got one of my favorite songs of all time, so yes.
I know, man. And by the way, I couldn't get the original. I couldn't get the actual Esposito singing it, but... it's still a good song. Go check out the kind of BYU memorabilia just outside of Kalani Sitake's office. That's currently streaming on my Instagram. Do you call it streaming on the Instagram, or do you call it playing on the Instagram?
It's one of your stories right now. It's currently a story, I think.
Is it?
I thought it was a story.
I think I did it as a reel.
Oh, maybe it's a reel.
Because Maddie was telling us that you and I and everybody else need to get in the reel game, because reels aren't – they don't have an algorithm, apparently, that forces it.
I got to do more reels. Okay.
Lloyd and I and Scotty, we're all struggling to gain listeners on Instagram. That's the bottom line. We are in full-on struggle mode. So we're trying to boost that because we've been informed that it's very important. And I am going to be doing a lot of football film and a lot of football breakdowns throughout the football season, but we're trying to get some of those numbers up. So follow us on Instagram right now. You can go check out that BYU memorabilia video that I've put up there, and you can just take a look into Lloyd and I's life. It's all right there on Instagram for you to consume. But if you do follow us and then we request to follow you back, don't just put us on the line. Don't put us on the hook like, look who. What's really strange, look who tried to follow me the other day.
Maybe I'll accept him. Maybe
don't
not.
Do that to me. I don't like it. I don't appreciate it.
Hey, if you don't accept me, I'm gonna reject you.
Yeah.
I'm going to probably just make it so you can't see me then.
Yeah, if I send a request.
You better accept me.
If I send a request, you dang well better accept that request. Tiger Woods in the bunker on his second shot. Tiger Woods coming out on third. It looks like he's going to be able to secure a par.
He is struggling. From the box, he's hitting these
loopy
fades.
Yeah.
Like big fades.
Yeah, a bit of a banana.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got some looping going on with his shot. That leg is not serving him real well right now. I don't know if Tiger's not going to make the cut. I don't think he makes the cut. Do you, Lloyd?
No, I'm not thinking so.
I mean,
that was a hell of an out on the bunker, though.
Like Bob Casper said, Tiger would have to shoot like even par.
Well, I think right now the cut was three.
So
and he's just one off. He's one off that, I think, unless he bogeyed the first hole.
Well, I want him to make the cut. I just, even when he's not playing well, I still want the cameras to be on him. All right, we'll take a quick break. Craig Bullerjack, the voice of the Jazz, joins us next.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.